Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
Well, hello, women on the rise. Thank you for being with us today. It's a joy to be with you. Today, with Patricia King, we are talking about cultivating God's presence. And what a beautiful topic to discuss with women who are on the rise. It is through His presence that we do arise. It's in His glory that we arise. And Patricia, I know so often I've sat in church meetings and there's been, you know, a preaching of, you got to get closer to God. You got to get closer to God. And it's all these things that you have to do to get closer to God. But, you know, what I found is it's really as simple as just turning to Him, because He's always right
here. He's always here. That's so true. Well, I'm excited about this topic today, Michelle, because out of presence comes everything. Mm-hmm. And when we encounter His presence and when we pursue His presence, we are in for rich life,
yes,
you know, that will follow us. But so many, and maybe some of you that are watching, struggle with identifying His presence. Mm. And then they begin to feel condemned, like, well, I'm not feeling His presence. I'm not sensing anything from God. So maybe He's not with me. He feels afar off. So maybe He is afar off. And I don't know how to get closer to Him. And then they strive to get close. And the more they strive, the worse things get.
The farther away He feels.
So I want to address that today. And I feel that many of you that are watching are going to be really touched by today's program. We also have a couple of women from our Women in Ministry Network that are going to address this issue as well and share with you some of the great insights that they've learned that has helped them pursue His presence. But I want to start, first of all, with Exodus 33, because I think it's classic, where it talks about Moses. Now, Moses has been spoken to by God. God is basically saying in verse 2 of Exodus 33, I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. So God says, I'm going to send an angel ahead of you because I promised that I'm going to bring you into the land. And He says, He'll take you up to the land flowing with milk and honey. That's what He promised His people. But He says, I will not go up in your midst because you are an obstinate people and I might destroy you on the way. So God is upset here.
Yes.
He has given His people a promise. Mm-hmm. He's led them out of the land of bondage. He's been with them every day in the wilderness, supplying everything that they need. And all they do is murmur and complain.
Yes.
And focus on what they don't have. And really, they could care less that the pillar of cloud, which is God Himself, is leading them by day and the pillar of fire by night. So God's getting to a point saying, I'm going to keep my word because I promised that I would take you in. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to go with you. Mm. So Moses is listening to this. The people were sad that God said that. And Moses heard it. And Moses is a negotiator. He has already negotiated with God on behalf of the people,
right,
and on behalf of God's reputation. So what Moses does in verse 7 is he goes and takes a tent and he pitches it outside the camp. a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Verse 8, and it came about whenever Moses, this is so key, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each one at his tent. Verse 9, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. In verse 11, it says, would speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Now, the thing that's important to note here is that that tent was a place that was offered for everyone. Yeah. Everyone in Israel could have gone into that tent and experienced the same thing. Mm-hmm. But the only ones that we see entering is Moses and Joshua, according to the scripture. Yeah. Yeah. And even after Moses left the tent, Joshua lingered, which is really important to note, because he was a man of presence and he was the man that God chose to take Israel in.
Yes.
So it's really important. So then Moses then says, if I have found favor in your sight, he said, God says to Moses, you have said, I have known you by name and you have also found favor in my sight. So Moses says, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is yours. By the way, I'll just throw that in. I'm a man of your presence. I'm seeking your presence, but I just want you to know that you just said that you favored me.
Right.
And so I'm just going to bring this issue up. This people is your people.
Yeah.
And God said then on Moses' negotiation, he says, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. So he's saying, at first, I was just going to send my angel, but Moses, you're a man of my presence. You're a man who I speak to face as a man speaks to a friend. I told you I found favor in your sight and you negotiated with me that if I found favor, hey, this people is your people. So I'm going to go with you. My presence shall go with you and I will give you rest and give you rest. And Moses said, well, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not lead us up from this place. Now, then we get into the real important part of this teaching. Moses says in verse 18, I pray you, show me your glory. I was stunned by this when I first read it as a new Christian, because I thought, Moses, what are you asking for here? Because every single day you're in the tent of meeting, God's presence is manifest. He's speaking to you face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Why are you asking for the glory to be seen? Because you've obviously seen it every single day. And God responds in this way. He said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Now, this is very, very key, because the word goodness there is in superlative tense, which means I'm going to reveal my highest level of goodness to you.
Wow.
You've asked to see my glory and I'm going to show it to you. And the highest level of my glory is to show my highest level of my goodness, which is Jesus Christ. And
wow,
he says, and then he says,
so
and
awesome.
I will proclaim his name. He says, I will proclaim his name, which Moses then came to know Jesus Christ. Now, Moses was the lawgiver.
Yeah.
The law cannot save us. No matter how much you try to obey the law to get into the presence of God, you will fail because you will fall short. The law is good and we love the law, but it won't get you into presence. Faith gets you into his presence. Jesus is the door that gets you into presence. And so Moses is having Jesus revealed to him by God when he said, show me your glory.
And the completion of the law.
It's so amazing.
It's so good.
So then in verse 20, God says, you cannot see my face, which is the plurality in the word. That word in the Hebrew means singular or plural face. In other words, he's saying, you cannot see the fullness of who I am and live. Your human body will not be able to take the full revelation, the full presentation, the full presence of who I am. I am too big for you. I'm too much for you. But he says, behold, there is a place by me. And we know that Jesus is the right hand of at the right hand of the Father. There's a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock.
Oh, it's so good.
And we know that Jesus is the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by. that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. So in Jesus Christ, we get the presence of God's glory revealed to us.
It's beautiful.
Because it is in him. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, we see in the book of Jude that when Moses died, Satan contended for his body.
Right.
But he lost. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because
he was born again.
That's right. He had Christ.
He had the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He would have been, and that's why Moses could show up at the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't a sinner. He was saved through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's what pursuing God's presence is all about. It's pursuing Jesus Christ. So I just want to give just a few keys with that in mind. And we have great women in history to look at who pursued God's presence, such as Catherine Kuhlman was a woman who would spend 6 to 8 hours praying and pursuing the Holy Spirit before she ever went out on the platform. You know, she was a person who lived in the presence of God. We see Mother Teresa, who was so connected to the presence of Jesus Christ. But I just want to give just a couple keys that will help you. First of all, you enter into pursuit of God's presence through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for you 2,000 years ago. You are not trying to get something that you already have. The blood of Jesus Christ gave you presence, gave you invitation into the presence of God. God said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. In the New Testament, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jesus said to his disciples, when he sent them out to preach, he said, I will be there with you to confirm. Jesus will never leave you. So whether you're feeling his presence or not isn't the issue. The thing is, do you believe that his presence is there? Mm-hmm. Because if you're trying, and I just want to share a testimony, is that I went through a season where God actually shut me down. I wasn't feeling anything. He said, you're relying too much on your emotions, your feelings, your senses. I'm going to teach you how to live out of your spirit, man, the truth of who you really are. And one day I was worshiping, trying to get into the presence of God, because back in those days, every sermon you heard was about intimacy with God. Intimacy. I just want to be intimate with you. I want your presence. I just want to be intimate with you. And I'm singing worship songs and I'm trying to soak and I'm getting panicky because I'm not feeling him. Mm-hmm. I feel nothing. I feel so distant. And the lies of the enemy come and say, you are not close to God. He's got something on you. You know, like, you know, you're just not it. And I was just struggling so bad. I said, oh God, I just want to be intimate with you.
Yeah.
And he spoke to me in that moment. He said, Patricia, you cannot be any more intimate with me than you are right now. And I said to him, really? That's a total disappointment. If this is as intimate as I get with you, he said, you're not understanding it. He says, do you believe that I am in you? Do you believe that you are in me? Do you believe that my love is perfect towards you and you're sealed in my love? And all of a sudden the light went on. Mm-hmm. I thought, it's not about what I feel. Mm-hmm. It's about what I believe.
Right.
And the second point I want to give to you, the first one is you enter by the blood of Christ. You have a covenant of presence. The second one is by grace. It's by grace you enter through faith. It's not by all the works. It's not like I'll fast 40 days and I'll you know, climb a mountain or whatever, you know, and then I'll get the presence. No, it's simply by receiving his work of grace. And the third key, and the final key, is childlike faith. Protect the childlike faith. Saying, God, your presence is with me. That day when the light turned on, I then entered into worship, not trying to get the presence, but already believing I was in it.
Yes.
And it changed my worship.
Yes. You know, we've got terminology about, you know, pressing in.
Yeah.
And the reality is God wants to be with us more than what we want to even be with him. As much as we want to be with him, God's desire for us is so much greater. And like David said, where can I go that I can escape your presence?
Really?
Nowhere. And we have, you know, like I said, the terminology of, you know, pressing in. And sometimes it's like this feeling of striving that comes with that of, and really it's just, it's a matter of I am going to hold to what I believe that I know to be true and not allow any of these other things to come and press out what I know to be truth.
And so then when you do the things, which are all good, like fasting's great.
Sure.
It's good for your body. It's good for your soul. It's good for your spirit. But you're not doing it trying to get
to
something you already have.
That's exactly right.
And reading your Bible every day, it's so good for you.
Yeah.
But if you read your Bible, say, I got to read my Bible. I got to read my Bible. I got to please God. I got to read my Bible. Then you're not going to get anywhere. But if you say, I'm going to read my Bible because I'm in love with Jesus He is going to reveal something fresh to me today.
Yes.
Same with our prayer life. Everything, it has to come from that place of rest.
Yes.
I just want to feature before we go on the Glory School. This Glory School will transform your life.
Yes.
It's 16 sessions that are valuable sessions. We also have it on a downloadable version if you go on our site, patriciaking.com, where it's got the manual, it's got the video teaching or the audio, whichever you prefer. But it was out of a 30-day visitation with the Holy Spirit that I received this teaching. And there are keys for how to access the presence, access the glory, ascend into the heavens, descend, and it'll transform your life. You know, we've seen thousands and thousands of people have taken this course, and it's been life transforming for them. And then ultimate passion, this will take the striving out of your attempts to get God's presence, because it'll show you how to position yourself in His love that was already demonstrated to you. I mean, He's already settled that issue. He's in love with you for all eternity and wants His presence to manifest.
So good. And Patricia, with the Glory, both of those are two of my most favorite of our resources. And with the Glory School, I've lost count of how many times I've sat through a Glory School because of the different times that we've taught it here. And every time
it's fresh revelation.
It's fresh revelation. And it's
so
again,
true. Me
life
too.
Transforming.
Even every time I teach it, I get fresh revelation.
It's so good.
It's like it opens a portal over your life. It's, I think it should be mandatory for every Christian because it's so clear doctrinally, theologically. It's very clear, but there's an impartation that comes with it. And if we're after presence, that's what we
want.
Yes.
And I always really encourage people to not just try to get through it, but to meander through it and allow Holy Spirit to just really commune with you all the way through it.
Yeah.
Well, we have two guests with us today that are also carriers of His presence. They are at the very core, they are lovers of His presence. And they're going to talk to us today again about cultivating His presence. So our first guest is Dr. Candace Smitheman. And Dr. Candace is an author, a life coach. She's a life coach in the Women in Ministry Network, a pastor, a speaker. She's been a TV host. Today, though, she's going to talk to us about cultivating His presence.
Hello, Michelle, Patricia. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you today for Cultivating Presence. And I just want to share with you personally how I cultivate the presence of God. I make it a daily experience to practice the spiritual disciplines. So I make sure that I'm reading the Word of God, that I'm focused in prayer, that I'm worshiping Him or soaking in His presence with worship music, that I'm fasting if He asks me to, but that I'm accessing the throne of God and allowing God to deal with me. I also practice communion as often as I can. And just taking the bread and the cup helps me reflect and think about what Jesus has done for me. But I also ask God to give me a mikveh bath. And you might say, well, what's a mikveh bath? Well, in Israel, there are these baths, ritual cleansing baths that are situated all over the country. And they're baths where the Jews would go into these baths that had flowing water, water that was driven by gravity, or rainwater that had collected in a cistern and then ran through into the mikveh bath. And the Jews go into these baths to cleanse themselves either daily, weekly, monthly, whatever they need in order to have an external washing of their impurities. Well, Jesus tells us in John chapter 7 that he is the river of living water. And if you drink of him, you'll never thirst again. And so he is the mikvah in action. And so I'll ask the rivers of living water to come and cover my spirit and the connection with the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus said that, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit come forth in a river of flowing water, just like the mikvah, and flow into my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. Cleanse my heart. The word tells us in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so I want to see God. I want to cultivate his presence. But the way to do that is to keep my heart clean before him. And so if there's impurities, just like external impurities will get on someone's body and they need a mikveh bath, it would be impurities that connect themselves to my soul, which would be negative self-talk, me personally, people speaking negative words to me. It might be even if there's attachments to things that are ungodly or addictions, anything of that sort would be considered an impurity. And so we don't want to touch those things. We don't want them to attach to our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we can ask God to give us a mikvah bath. Give us that cleansing where the rivers of living water, that gravity flowing water is going to come up and going to cleanse our soul and reconnect us to him. David told us in Psalm 51 verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. And so we want that to be the speech of our life, the talk of our life, who we are on the inside. God, give me this clean heart so that I can stay connected with you and in that deep, divine, and connected relationship. And so I just want to encourage people today, if you want to cultivate the presence of God, open up your heart to hear from him in a state of humility and say, Father, just give me a mikveh bath. Just cleanse my soul today so that I can hear your voice more clearly. I can see you. I can connect with you. I can remain in that place where I'm cultivating your presence. That's something that he wants, and it's something that we want. And so together we can make that happen through faith and belief in what Jesus did for us on the cross, but also an understanding that he is the river of flowing water. And there is a reason for that in the Word of God. The external washings and all are referring to the mikveh bath, but we can be internally washed with the rivers of flowing water. So thank you so much for having me on the program, and I hope this was an encouragement.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Candace. And how beautiful it is that we're able to access all of these things by faith, that his presence is with us. As she was talking, I was again thinking of Jesus on the cross and the curtain in the temple, that veil, that thing that had separated us from God being rent from top to bottom. It's God
that has torn that veil. I'm just getting a word, Michelle, for someone who has been feeling so defiled because of things that you've done in the past, mistakes that you've made. And there's a spirit of condemnation that is attacking you. And, you know, God just wants his living water to pour over you right now and just to cleanse you from all defilement of your soul, of your flesh. And he doesn't hold anything against you. He's in love with you and he just wants you nice and clean. And it's so easy. You don't have to strive for it. Just receive it now. Let that river of living water, let that bath come to you right now and just receive that refreshment.
It's so good. Our next guest with us today is Paula Douglas. And Paula is a pastor in Florida, and she is a lover of intimate worship time and leads into a very unique form of intimate worship. And one of the things that I love about Paula is that she evidences the cultivation of his presence by her joy. She is a woman of joy. So, Paula, will you please share with us about cultivating his presence?
Blessings, everyone. Hello, Patricia, Michelle, and Women on the Rise. I'm Paula Douglas, and it is my delight to be here with you today talking about your topic of pursuing or cultivating the presence. This is so near and dear to my heart. It is my passion that everyone encounter God in an intimate way every single day. So it all began for me the day that I went from teaching school to being in full-time ministry. In one day, I made a very hard turn from school teaching to being in full-time ministry, going from the country club to the cow pasture. Believe it or not, in one day, I had to begin to understand unequivocally, no longer just knowing about God. Have you ever been there? To actually knowing God for myself. So just like learning to teach children in an elementary classroom, I had to learn how to cultivate the presence, practice the art of the presence of being with the living God. And that hard turn for me started just like, you know what? Taking baby steps. And as I began to take baby steps towards God, soon I was toddling, wobbling a little, if you would, walking towards God. Soon I was running into God, because why? Every single day I intentionally started cultivating the presence, the atmosphere. Well, I asked God about how to develop this relationship with Him. Don't you want to know what He likes, what He wants, what He will have? He's your King and my King. I want to know what the King wants. Well, I asked and He gave me a dream. Quickly, let me tell you my dream. There was an orchestra playing in a most magnificent ballroom. I was standing at the edge of the ballroom floor, the dance floor, if you will, and this gentleman came across the floor, all dressed in white linen with a gold sash around his chest, and he stuck out his hand and he said, "Waltz with me." I was totally shocked, guys. I was shocked that he would ask me to waltz with him. Wow. I looked down at my hands and I held something in my hands and I said to him, "This disqualifies me." If I can say it, disqualifies me from the dance. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Put your hand in mine." And guys, I did. And in the dream, we just began to waltz across the floor. Well, ever since I had that dream, I keep this everywhere. Big pictures, small pictures of the waltz. Can you see that? Yeah, it's a reminder for me that God wants an intimate relationship with me. So my takeaway from that dream, I actually had three takeaways, and I want to share those quickly with you today, because I know you are talking about today cultivating the presence, developing that atmosphere where you and God are intimately entwined. First thing I realized, that there must be, number one, a desire. It's a heart thing. Look at that. It's a heart thing. You and I have to long for Him. The second takeaway from my dream was, not only is there a heart thing where we long for Him, but we must lean into Him. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's number three. Back up to number two. It is in the stillness. I call it the pause, that we stop the busyness of life and we just focus intentionally on Him. And now let's get to number three. It's the lean in, what I call the surrender. You and I surrender to His arms. And guess what? When we begin to surrender to Him, we can hear His whispers. So that is, we have to have a desire. We have to pause this busyness of life, and we have to lean in and surrender to Him. You may say to me, "Paula, why would I want to do that? Why do I want to cultivate the presence? Why do I want to practice the presence of being in the arms of the living God?" I'm so glad you ask. Here's why. When you and I practice cultivating the presence of the living God, it begins to be easier and easier every time we intimately spend time with Him. Now, He trusts us with His heart. And when He trusts us with His heart, He trusts us with His thoughts and His desires. Isn't that awesome? You can know exactly what God is thinking and what He desires. And wow, cultivating the presence is worth it all. Well, I've got to go. So bye for now. See you again soon. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Paula. And, you know, with what she was saying about the busyness, and this morning in my devotion time, I was reading about the seeds and the different things and how that different things can snatch them away. And one of those things is the busyness. But don't let that be a condemning word to you. Know that God's passion is for you, and nothing takes away that passion. And as you're going through your day and all the busynesses of life, have moments of intentionality of just saying, of looking in and recognizing that His presence is with you. And just in that moment, just say, God, I love you too. Mm-hmm. God, I'm so glad that you're with me. Lord, what's on your heart in this moment? And it doesn't have to be this, you know, hour long devotion time or something, but just that all throughout your day, acknowledging Him being with you.
That's so good, Michelle. You know, in the life that we live right now, mm-hmm. there is so much temptation placed on our time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's like you can't spend time with God because you got to check your emails. You can't spend time with God because you got to post on Facebook. You can't, spend time with God because you just heard ding, ding, ding on your texts. You better go answer those.
Right.
And just even little things like that, let alone most people today are working, sometimes mm-hmm. more than one job, two or three jobs sometimes, and families to raise and everything, that we keep thinking because God is so merciful, we think, well, He'll understand. And He does. That's not the point. The point is that your life, mm-hmm. Needs His presence.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes we just got to bite the bullet and say, you know what? I'm putting you first, God. I'm putting you first because you're the most important. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting with Oral Roberts before he went on to be with the Lord. And I asked him, what was your secret for mm-hmm. Keeping a strong devotion with God, because you're so busy. You're a televangelist. You're an author of books. You're founding hospitals and universities and Bible schools around the world and everything. He said, that was easy. He said, I made my time with God a priority. He said, I called it my sacred time in my sacred place. Mm-hmm. And it was like, he said, no one could interrupt him during that time.
Right.
Even if the president of the United States, not his wife, not his kids, no one could interrupt. He said, God is the most important being in the whole universe, so I won't let anything distract that time. And he said, everything that he was called to do by God was born out of that place.
Yeah.
God would speak to him in that place.
Yeah.
And he always gave God his yes. And when he gave God the yes, he said, grace would come upon the project. And he said, my life has been so easy because I put God first. And I just want to encourage you to put God first. Mm-hmm. And you might have to change some things in your schedule in order to do that. Mm-hmm. But you'll be glad that you did. Say, God, I'm going to make you my priority. You're the last one I'm going to think about when I go to sleep at night. You're the first one I'm going to think about when I get up in the morning. And then throughout the day, I'm going to turn my heart toward you. And when you put him first like that, your life is going to be so enriched.
It is.
Yeah.
And it will. There's a quote that actually is from Einstein, but I can find it throughout the scripture, and it's all means prove to be but a blunt instrument unless breathed upon by Spirit.
Wow.
So often as we're going through life, sometimes it just feels like everything is blunt, and we need that Spirit of God to breathe on those things in order to bring a sharpening to our lives.
Right on.
Well, I do have a decree to end with today. Yes. We could talk about this all day. And even in just talking about the goodness of God, you begin to feel the glory of Him, in this place. But here's your decree. God is at hand, not far away. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with you. He dwells with you. God's presence is with you and gives you rest. He walks with you in the cool of the day, and He walks with you in the valley of the shadow of death. You have no need to fear. You are God's temple, and His Spirit dwells in you. The Lord's glory fills your house. You are set aflame and not consumed. The living gateways are awakened. Welcome, the King of Glory.
Amen. As we close today, we want to encourage you to visit our website, patriciaking.com. You can find out more about our Women in Ministry Network there. There's a tab for it. Click on the tab. We'd love it if you are a passionate woman who desires to serve God in whatever field that you are in, we'd like to invite you to the network where you'll have camaraderie and equipping and fellowship with others and a lot of encouragement that we offer. And also, again, we want to feature the Glory School. We'd love to have you take this school and see your life transformed in the glory. And Ultimate Passion, especially if you're not secure yet totally in the fact that God really loves you, and this will transform you. Just soak under it and it will transform you. So thank you so much for joining us today. We are glad that you did, and we expect you to rise and shine. Your light has come.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.